the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us. We gon' take it down. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers. Tell them, turn me up. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, this one for the hustlers. This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gonna make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gonna make sure they know it.
We gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats to fix it saying, ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh.
Welcome back, welcome back. DJ Focus, Char Love. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. A lot of smoke. You already know what it is. It's time for the unsaid truth. Come on, Char Love, talk to the people.
Man, this right here, it's relevant. It's relevant with everything is going on wrong with the church right now. And nobody want to say it, but there's predators in the sanctuary. And I have fallen victim of that. And it's crazy how it is not, you know, spoken about. I mean, on the hush-hush it is. But you have people that are of high rank in the pastor preying on single women. I can't speak about the single men, but definitely there have been people preying on single women. And the way they get away with it is, I repented. God knows my heart. So we good.
Girl, who said, wait a minute. What? I wish you would pray on me and then be like, I repented. It don't work like that. And okay,
it's a real thing.
I agree.
I can speak from a place of mentoring and because I'm not a counselor, more of a mentoring and coaching somebody through some of these issues. I'm be honest with you. unfortunately, you know, we have it in women too as well. But there are a lot of men who are narcissists. And they want to control the situation. When you talk about if they see a young lady or a woman that they like, they want to control them. And this is a real life issue in the church, Char. So I'm glad you brought it up, because a lot of men need counseling. And what I found in my some of my conversations with some of these men, they have issues with women and ladies because they had mom issues. So these mom issues like actually inflicted them to start doing these things where they do or they try to do inappropriate sexual things to some of the ladies in the congregation. And to your point, because if they have a rank, Char, they feel like it's okay. Like it's, you know, my fault. I was just playing. I heard jokers tell me that all the time. Like I was just playing. No, you can't grope a young lady that don't want nothing to do with you and say you just playing. And I say, you definitely want to pray about who that in general, because I know if she was any kin to me and my cousin came and told me something, pray for me, because I'm gonna lay holy hands. I might pray with you afterwards, but I'm gonna have a hard conversation. And I think the issue is because we don't have enough men standing up in the church, Charles.
Thank
so I want to know men that I don't play with it. I have two sisters. I have a lot of cousins. So I grew up with a lot of ladies, and my dad and my uncles always trained the men. You protect the women in this family at all costs. Your life died before they died. Don't nothing shake before y'all make sure the ladies are protected. So again, it's a lot that goes into this, and I know you. I'm go to you guys because I know you have some thoughts.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are predators everywhere. So for those of you who think there might not be one up in church,
yeah, right.
No, bless you, bless
there's
you.
There's a lot of them in there.
They are everywhere. But yeah. This is a topic we talk about a lot. People don't speak up enough. You know, like, I was always taught you got to say something. So it's crazy to me how you could actually have a whole church that the pastor done messed with 200 people up in there and it don't come out for 15 years. What? The minute
they cover them, touch, nice. it's because they are covering
them. But here's the thing: the conversation has to change when it comes to people who are getting preyed on. It has to be like, if somebody does that to you, you got to say something, because you can't be over here like, well, I don't want to say nothing because it was the pastor. I am definitely saying something if it's the pastor. Matter of fact, you ain't even gonna be able to finish preaching. I'm coming out the green room. You understand what I'm saying? I'm coming out the green room. Right? I'm walking right on over to, you know, where they make the little announcements or whatever. I'm walking right on over to that podium.
I need the mic.
Mic snatching. And everybody gonna know. And listen.
That's during announcements.
Yeah, during announcements, okay? Before anything kick off. But we have to get that aggressive with that enemy who is in the church. That is supposed to be a place that's holy, one. Right. Okay, where we come together. And so it's like, if we have yet to get to a point where we can be honest about somebody doing something to us in that place, okay, come on now. That's just too much. So no, and it's unfortunate, but you do have these people. And I never forget, I told my husband, he was like, nah, Laura said you my wife. I was like, you know how many times I've heard that?
I could have had a couple of sugar daddies.
Come on now, because people do use these lines, like God said, you know, and then when you're looking for a sign from God, or you're believing God for a man or a wife, you tend to believe them more if they're in the church setting, because you're like, well, I know you wouldn't be in here lying about what God said. Not in church.
They the main ones in there lying.
So it's unfortunate. Yeah, you do have predators. Now, what do you do about that? You got to say something. You know that saying, if you see something, say something, or if something happens to you, you have to speak up. You can't just hold it to yourself.
So I got a question, Dice. I know you said, as millennials, we have to call them up.
Can we call them out?
Yes. I think in this one, call them out.
That's a call out. Now, unless, let me be very honest, and because I had a young lady, and I'll make sure I be very careful because I know she followed me. One day she had said something to me about a pastor had raped her, right? Mm. And so my question was, who? One, I want to know who. And then we need to know where this was. Where did this actually happen? And she said, well, she didn't really want to say too much to me. But what had happened was she went to go meet him at a room. You feel me? And so she was like, I feel like I can't say anything because we were like kind of talking behind the scenes, you know, and then I met up with him and then it didn't really go the way I wanted it to go, you know, and so what do I do now? And so she really didn't want to go to the authorities or anything because she felt like I played into this, you know, like I showed up, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but and I say all that to say, regardless if you put yourself in a situation with a man or woman of God and it goes sideways, you still got to say something. And you got to say something right then. You know, the church can forgive you and everybody, your friends and family will forgive you because they understand people in positions of power typically have influence over groups. So it's like, you know, this person could have done that to 25 people. You might not be the first one that he or she did that to. So you have to say something, and you got to say something right then. I don't care if you pick up the phone and be like, call your mama, daddy, uncle, brother, who I am butt booty naked in this hotel room and pastor such and such just left up out of here and y'all need to meet me at his house. Like, don't play with it, because if you let it go, then the shame, you know, this is how the enemy works. Don't you say nothing because you know you shouldn't have been over there. You know, like the enemy start talking in your ear. Well, you know, he was married or she was married. No. Wrong is wrong, period. Wrong is wrong.
But like in the Bible, when the woman was caught in the midst of adultery,
what happened?
Who did they bring to the court to be stoned? It was the woman. So of course, especially the women, we shy away from it because we know we're going to be the ones condemned. We know
that was 5,000 years ago. Listen,
it still stands because women.
You got a whole cell phone. You got an iPhone 5, 15 Pro Max.
But still, though, even though they're going to be like, you knew he was married, right?
Don't matter.
Why did you do this? Why did you do that?
Don't matter.
I have to argue against that because
don't matter.
The woman is still going to be.
Nope. No, they're not.
It's different.
Who just got taken? Whoops, the brother. What's the little actor? Listen, women have so much power.
We do.
But the problem with women, let me be honest with you. The problem with it is you don't say anything right away. Because here's the deal. Everybody's on this. That's the first question I'm asking you. If I'm a police officer and you come to me and be like, oh, such and such did it to me 10 years ago.
Huh? So what was the response? They said, why didn't you say nothing? Because they won't believe me. And no, that's no. The truth.
But if you, but here's the deal. And everybody, every lawyer knows this. When something happens to you and a person makes that first report, if you have to come back to court or whatever, they're going to look at. So you telling me on this day, this person called and they had to go back to that house and then it happened again. Yes, we're taking it seriously. So it's like, if you might have to be that sacrifice, you might have to be that one. But trust me, you putting something on record against somebody who does something to you, especially if they're in church, that second person that makes that complaint, the predator's going down faster. So I'm like, we have to get away from this. Oh, I don't want to say that because I don't want anybody looking at me like, you know, and it's like, if somebody violates you, you got to love yourself enough. And let me be honest, because I don't know who's listening to me. If somebody violates you, you got to love yourself enough. Know you're valued enough. Know God put you here and he gave you a mouth and you have to speak that thing. Okay. You cannot sit here and listen to the voice of the enemy and say, shut up. It needs to be a secret. Don't tell nobody. Oh, the whole church going to fall or what's going to happen. Guess what? They will have a guest pastor the very next week. The pastor who probably been preaching better than the one who is the predator. So I'm like, you have to get outside of your head and stop trying to control the future. It's like, if somebody does something to you, you have to immediately say something. And this ain't just for church. It's just period. Right. It's just period. Like, so yeah, the predators, they got to go. We tired. And I'll be real with you, 2024, these predators are going down. If y'all ain't seen nothing happening online, they're going down.
And a lot of people, this is, you know,
talk to me.
I don't really know. I mean, well, the young millennials, you know, Bishop Eddie Long. That's a situation that was, you know, kept under wraps and that came out. And even for me, I, in my hometown, older pastors, if I was such and such years old, sir, you are the age of my grandfather. What does that mean? And so they use little tactics that come off jokingly, but it's like, you shouldn't be joking like that.
Yeah, but you got to learn to speak up and say, you know, that is unwanted advancement. I feel like that's harassment. I feel like you made a comment to me last Sunday concerning how my behind looked in my new skirt, and I was offended by that. I'm going to ask you to not do that again, and I'm also going to report it to the secretary, period. Okay,
because yeah,
when I come in here, I want to be focused on the things of God. And now I'm dodging you, and I feel like I can't come through the doors. And if I see you, I'm definitely walking around the other way. I shouldn't have to feel like that when I come into the church.
So young women, young men, if they say something slight, you got to say something.
Speak
you
up.
Have to.
Do you feel like you're not able to, the majority are not able or have the confidence to speak on things like this and say something?
Yes. And I've spoken to a lot of young women and that's a part of their church hurt because it's like,
but how long do we keep letting it happen?
But that's the thing. So the people in the church, the ones that they go to, don't brush it off. And so it is hard because they're like, well, they're going to say, well, why are you dressing like that? And it's always, I don't care what nobody says. I'm so sorry. They will always say, well, why did you know, dress that way? Or, you know, like, what did you do? And it's just like, why do I have to say or do something for them that warrants this? And that happens a lot in the church. And that shouldn't be the first response when a young woman, especially somebody that's trying to get to God, that shouldn't be the first response. Because that has happened to me. I went to a pastor's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say no names in LA. And I was chilling with my girlfriend and we were having a good time. Never been in this type of environment. A pastor from Fresno came to me and was like, hey, you're very beautiful. And I'm thinking he's single. I'm like, okay, he's nice. Chocolate fit all my descriptions. But on the very bottom of the list is I don't like married men, you know, at all. And if you got more than one child, you know, I'm not the one for you.
Well, praise God, you don't like married men. The Lord knows. Thank you for saying that, Lord.
Hey, women do.
Lord, I know. It's a whole movement. That's a whole nother thing. Lord, help me. I'm praying the blood of Jesus over their mind for just keep saying, you want to be this side chick. I don't understand why that thing came like a new thing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
He then tells me, he's like, oh, you're beautiful. And I'm like, oh, thank you. He tried to wrap it up. And I would love for you to come to my church and speak. I'm like, great. Left, came back, was like, your feet are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you married? He said, yeah. He was like, I'm starting this new thing, this sermon series called How Beautiful Are the Feet Those That Preach the Gospel. Sir, let me go put some tennis shoes on. You married.
Where my thing at? Lord help me. What? He really said that to you for real?
Yes, and my girlfriend was right there, was like, Char. A preacher in Fresno.
I mean, it was a good pickup line. He was trying, you know, but he took the scripture out of context. He took the scripture out of context. I'm just saying. Did you find out who his wife was?
I had to Google it. I went on Instagram.
I'm such a snitch. When it comes to stuff like this, and I'm trying to tell you what works, the enemy has to be exposed. So when you have that situation happen, and then said pastor goes and does two other conferences and throws that line to two more girls, one of them going to fall for that line. So it's like, it has to get to a point where collectively, respectfully, you go and you say, hey, I'm going to need you to stop doing that. And I'm pretty sure your wife wouldn't like that. And even if your marriage is on the rocks, you have zero business trying to handle me. You got to let God finish working that thing out. Okay. And thank you for your compliments, but no, thank you. Okay. And I'm about to tell each and every woman in here that it's a whole married man trying to holler at a young single girl, and it's wrong. And you know what? You probably need to go sit down for about 6 months. So who's your bishop? Cause I think I need to write them a letter and say, I think you need to go on a sabbatical where you can just get in touch with God and trust God differently. Cause right now you ain't trusting God at all. You are in here literally, a snake. You're operating, in a way that it shouldn't happen. It's not a good reflection of the church. Like, this is what these people be missing. It ain't just about that moment. It's like, dude, your whole spirit is jacked up. You can't go, are you preaching on Sunday after you just try to holler at me on Saturday? What are we doing? What are you doing?
He ain't never posted about the sermon, about the feet. Sharing the gospel. So I'm
he never will. Listen, oh my goodness. Unsaid truth. Y'all see us off the hook. We got to go to a quick break. We coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
What's good, family? It's your boy DJ Focus.
And it's your girl Dice Gamble in the building.
Wake up to the ultimate morning experience. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we are turning up the heat each and every morning with what you love. Laughter, music, and the hottest topics. Don't forget those exclusive interviews that you won't find anywhere else.
The Fix Radio Show is your go-to destination for the freshest music, the most engaging conversations, weekday mornings, 6 a.m. right here on Sirius XM, channel 140, Holy Culture Radio.
And, of course, we're not forgetting our incredible Fix family. Expect those shout-outs, contests, and even more ways to interact with us.
Stay tuned because we got exclusive giveaways. You don't want to miss it. Follow us on all our social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show.
Yep, it's not just a radio show, it's a radio movement. The Fix Radio Show is 4 hours strong, so set your alarms to kick off your day the Fix way.
You ask for more, we're delivering. The Fix Radio Show, bigger, better, and all the way lit.
Yep, tune in and turn up with The Fix Radio Show, where every moment is a vibe. Tap in early weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The Fix is in.
And we out.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Hey, have you ever spoken to someone who seemed to have all the best play ideas but never knew the playbook? It's like someone who has all the best ideas in the world but never follows their own advice. In his book, The Maxwell Leadership Bible, New York Times bestselling author and speaker John Maxwell stated, "No matter who you are or what you do, you are a leader, a person of influence. And to truly be an effective leader, you must first be able to lead yourself." But what does it look like to lead ourselves daily to be an effective leader on and off the playing field? One example is found in the life of Ezra. At a young age, Ezra studied and became a scholar and a priest, a man respected by political leaders of his day. He will help bring the Israelites back to their land after 70 years of captivity. That's a long, long time. So what was the secret to Ezra's effectiveness? Well, that comes from Ezra 7:10, which gives us the answer. It says this, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." Again, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. By following Ezra's example, we must decide to fully devote ourselves to the daily study of God's word. Next, we must make a daily practice of applying what we have read in front of others. Finally, we must teach to others what we have read and practice for ourselves. To put it simply, we must learn it, live it, and teach it. Look, let's import the truth before we export the truth. Take some time to master God's playbook so you can be able to shine in the game of life. I'm Justin Adams, and this is Be Your Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble as the fix is it.
I'm Dice Gamble from The Fix, and this is your News in 90. Giving a special shout-out to some elementary and middle school students today from Seattle, a team called 42 Watts, based in Bellevue, Washington. The students are regulars in First Lego League, which is a robotics program that introduces kids to science. This year's challenge is called Masterpiece. The team was challenged to come up with a new idea, and they named their project Relief Fillable. This uses software, hardware, and artificial intelligence to generate a painting in real time. Now, visually impaired individuals can also experience art in the same way those of us who see can. For more information or directions to the Bainbridge Art Museum, go to biartmuseum.org today. If you're looking to partner with your community concerning helping to end homelessness in America, endhomelessness.org is where you can take action today. The End Homelessness Program is a community-wide coordinated approach to delivering services, housing, and programs to those who need it most. From housing as a solution, assistance for those who are most vulnerable, to creating an effective response system, the End Homelessness Program allows you to take action today. For more information, go to endhomelessness.org. And if you have fallen off the wagon of your New Year's resolutions to lose weight and change your diet, here are a couple cheats that you can add to boost your metabolism and to help you lose weight fast. Eating fish or shellfish, adding legumes or beans, chili peppers, lean meats, low-fat milk, broccoli, lentils, oatmeal, berries, almonds, cottage cheese, and definitely drinking more water. I'm Dice Gamble, and this has been your News in 90.
And we back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, The Unsaid Truth. We talking about it today, Predators in the Sanctuary. And I'm telling you from experience why men have a hard time being rejected. I know that for experience. And sometimes, but again, this is why I say the real men, shouts out to the real men listening to me, there should be no man in church where you're not being observing and you're not knowing the man in the circle. Because again, I'm old school and I feel like the man need to be the priest and the prophet. So we need to have these conversations. You know how many men I built relationships with just walking to them after church? Totally random. Introducing myself. Hey, I've been seeing you for a couple of weeks. Who are you? You know, what do you do? Men, we always talk about money. That's the first thing we kind of relate. All right, what do you do for a profession? You know, are you married? How many kids you got? Just getting to know the congregation. Shouts out to my pastor too as well. I can't take no credit for it. My pastor, Dr. R.A. Vernon, he taught us that. That's a part of training that he taught all the men. Know all the men in the church. For security purposes, we need to know every man in
the
church.
Good.
So, that was something I just wanted to share with that, Char. I know you got some more
and
to
I
talk
think
about.
And I think we need more godly stand-up men. Like, just men that have morals and values.
There you go.
That's what we need in the church. Like, if women are coming in, we need to know that not just our family, our brothers have us, you know, covered. The men in the church, like, hey, sis, if I'm your sis, truly be that. I think that's the solution to this is pastors. You need to, the way that the women try to correct the women, the young women, the men need to do the same thing. Prepare them to be a husband. Prepare them to be a friend. Show them that this is the way that you're supposed to conduct yourself as a man. If you're looking for a woman, don't come at her in a predatory way. You know, court her, get to know her. And I think it really starts at the head, the head of the church. And it's just like, you need to have, whether you have luncheons with your men, a separate class on how to date, because men need to know how to date. You know, shout out to my future boo, Devon Franklin. He does a good job.
Fire, baby.
He does a good job. Yes. That man is very vulnerable.
Right.
You know, he takes accountability.
Yes.
He's honest.
His
foundation is rooted in God, and that's what we need.
I love that.
Yes.
And that's for the women as well. So your women's ministry, make sure, you know, because it does go both ways, I'll be honest with you. But there has to be a welcoming to the truth in each and every church across the world, regardless if it's a mega church and this pastor is somehow a superstar and he's on whatever TV show right now. There has to be safety in a church, and that has to be taught. It has to be preached. This is a safe place. If there is a situation, we want to know about it. You know, these are a couple ways that you could share that information with us, one-on-one, you know, in a prayer room or an email, or, you know what I'm saying, or on paper. You could drop it right here in this box. But you do have to create that culture in your church of honesty, safety without retaliation. Because if I don't know, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, if I'm over two mega churches, I'm just preparing for my sermons because I gotta preach like five times this week, and I'm jet jumping, and I still got my family at home. You know, I gotta make sure I'm available for them. So if I'm not privy to my young men, that I got 20 young men in there just wrecking havoc with all the women, I don't know. So I you have to make sure that people are speaking up when there are issues in the body of Christ. Like that's it. Like that's where we have been missing. That's why, especially during COVID, churches started falling apart, because now everybody at home kikiing it up. Now all the business is exposed. Like, why didn't y'all say this when the church was happening before COVID? It's like, now you're taking pastors down left and right. Well, we could have fixed this. Literally could have fixed this if, you know, a youth pastor or a mother's board or deacon or whoever had just stepped up and said, hey, pastor, I need to speak to you in the green room. You know, I've had about three complaints with such and such. You know, we probably want to address it. And then also, you got to come before the church and address it in a way that honors God. And you got to get it out in the open, because that's, like I said, that's a trick of the enemy. When you keep secrets, that's how predators do too, especially molested. When one in three women are molested, it's, oh, don't you tell nobody. Oh, did you tell, you know, it's our secret, or you brought that on yourself, or I'm gonna retaliate. It's like, no, say you gonna, listen, you can say what you want to say, but if you wrong me as a predator, I'm snitching. I'm telling somebody right now. If we in the house together and my auntie's in here, I'm going to tell her. If my uncle's in here, I'm going to tell him. You're not going to leave here probably with your right arm or your right hand. I'm telling. Like, but we have to be that bold in God and know that God's got this and God got you, but you shouldn't have put your hands on me. Right. You shouldn't approach me like that.
And young men and women need to know that the church is going to back them up instead of blaming them.
That's right.
The first time.
That's right. That's right. So, the church has had a bad rap concerning, like we were talking, especially off air, of, I got to protect, you know what I'm saying? We got to keep it in-house, or if somebody knows, then what? And all I'm trying to say is God has raised up so many powerful men and women of God. If one pastor fall, baby, trust me, next week, one is able to slide right on in that spot and keep on leading. You know what I'm saying? Because that's typically why you have assistant pastors and things like that. So if something does happen with the regular pastor, somebody can step up, and the church is familiar with that person because they have been in there attending to the sheep. It's not just some rando off the street, you know? So it's like, as a community, like you said, Ishar, if you're my brother, you gotta be that. If you're my sister, you gotta be that. And that, there's a level of honesty there, you know, and we have to keep things out in the open. Like, that church should be a safe space. Completely. It shouldn't be, you know, I don't feel safe here. No, this is the one place that you can come. That's been the church throughout history. This is where we come to talk about problems going on in our community, problems going on in schools, problems going on around the world, safety. Let's not even talk about, you know, after slavery. Like, come on now. This is the place that you should be able to come to and state everything that's going on so we can address it as a whole, as a community. So I'll be praying more for these people to get on about the body, you know what I'm saying? But we got to speak up, because I'll be honest with you, even as a parent, I can't help you if I don't know. If you don't tell me, it's a problem. True. Yeah, I can't help you.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's only so much you can cover too, as well. I don't know why we're still having these conversations, but we still got to have them. I think absolutely we want to protect you know, our church members, but at a certain limit, something like this, Now, it has to be addressed. To your point, Dice, that's why you do have a bishop who oversees pastors and, mm-hmm. and everybody, and pastors oversee, you know, even the elders, the deacons, and mm-hmm. all the members. No, there should be a system in place. Yeah, some things we can work through. Maybe you get some counseling. We can work through it. Then other things, no. They're off top. We got to address this. We ain't going to run from it. It's out here, and this is detrimental for
Or just a removal. Or just a removal. Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, and that's the thing. Sometimes a lot of these churches are scared to operate without their pastor or without their church leader because they're not ready. So that just goes to the pastors not preparing the leaders. No.
Right.
That's one thing our pastor does.
You do have some churches like that, some pastors who are very selfish, and they will try to keep people out. They will try to box people out. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
you can't box nobody out, Dice, if you are a married man and you keep trying to get cheeks all what in the sanctuary and they ain't your wives. You can't. I hear what you're saying, Dice, but I'm trying to understand this. So you're going to sit here in front of the church board and you're going to tell me you sitting here trying to commit adultery on your wife and you think we can't talk about this, and you think because you're the senior pastor, you overrank everything? I think not.
Well, it's people like that, Focus. You know that. That's why I said, you know, there has to be. Not just messing with your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a lead pastor or associate pastor, you're not just messing with your life or your wife or husband or your relationship. You are potentially destroying lives of other people who were on the path to seek God, but because you couldn't keep it together, they have zero faith that God could keep their relationship together. They have zero faith that God is real. They have zero faith that they could trust any church in the world. Like you said that at the top, Shari, you were talking about church hurt. Yes. Once y'all get this church hurt thing going, some people are affected. Like you brought up, one of our other bishops. When people are affected in that way and they see that happening, they start to doubt God. And that's where we're making the mistake. It's like, you know, so yes, if you are a predator in a church, please excuse yourself. Please go sit down somewhere. Please go get some help.
Right.
Because it's not just about you having that weak moment or you hollering at Miss Johnson because you saw she had on some new stockings this week. It starts to change the atmosphere and how people are receiving God. Some people, they will never get saved because they're like, I just don't want to be in a room alone with that person because I haven't heard. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's deeper than just these predators that are out there. That's why we have to start speaking up. And some of y'all got to go sit down and go get some help.
All the way down. All the way down.
Okay. It's okay to sit down.
And guess what? God's call in your life ain't going nowhere. That call will be there. But if you know you're not strong enough, and I liken it to, I never forget when I stopped doing cocaine and I stopped smoking weed. And I never forget, I was telling my friends, I said, I don't do that no more. Don't do it around me. I don't want to be around you. And if you ever think you're about to see me doing something, call me out. Cause I don't do that no more. Like even as I was coming out of addiction, I was very vocal to tell people, oh no, that's the area I struggle. I struggle with that. Nope. Like I'm walking through my deliverance right now. I can't be nowhere near you. Huh? Can't do nothing. Nope. I can't serve on that team. No, thank you. Like it was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can't do it. But you're going to have to get real with yourself and allow God to do the work. But you're going to have to be honest with people. You can't just be up in the room. It would have been like me being up in the room knowing I was fighting addiction, trying to come out of it. And just everybody got, you know, got eight balls on the table and bricks. And what are we doing? I couldn't be in that environment and get delivered. So that's why I was saying at the top of the gate, yes, you have predators in places. Yes, you're going to have a predator in church. But when you find out they're there, you have to speak up. And then they have to go through the process of getting help, you know, and it may take a while, it may take 2 months, may take 2 years. But we have to protect our sheep. We got to protect those who are coming in. And we, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're carrying a mantle and we are called to minister to them. And we can't let anything throw them off. You know, not me in my little comment. I can't be commenting on somebody's European fitting suit, you know, saying in front of the youth group, be like, did y'all see Pastor Brown's new European pinstripe suit? I can't do that.
Right.
Like, Dice, now you got me looking at Pastor Brown. I wasn't even looking at Pastor Brown, but because you done said it, now I got 20 young girls checking Pastor Brown. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to be careful in the church. But anyway, I could get on that and just ride that all the way home.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Dice. And we go, I know we get ready to close out, but it's a spiritual battle. I think that's something else we got to lead the people with. It is a spiritual battle. Let's be very clear. The enemy will lure us into these temptational spots to where, like you say, he know what we want. He ain't going to send nothing your way
that you don't want.
To your point, absolutely. There's certain family functions I can't go around anymore. I love my family, but some of my cousins, they blow big. Let's be very clear. They blow big. So I can't act like I'm going to go sit in the basement. These jokers, you can't even see nothing. Smoke everywhere. Even if I didn't put it to my lips, I'm high.
You high.
This is very cool. So I can't go over there. They already know. And I love them. When I can, we go to the out in the park family functions, more out that's open, right, where they can't blow big like that. So yeah, you got to know yourself, but also too as well, you have to identify that, listen, the enemy is sending these spirits in our ministry on purpose, because he want to tear our ministries up. He don't want us to
I don't want them to go to heaven. Because he already about to burn forever. So it's like, I got to take people with me. There's, you know, so that's what I'm saying.
The married men that are, never mind. I don't have heaven or hell to put anybody in, so I'm going to be quiet.
What did you want to say about the married men, though? Go ahead and say your last thing.
I'm just saying, married men, God has given you your wife. So be with your wife. Leave us single women alone so we can find our Boaz, because you right now is causing confusion. That means you're on the enemy's team. You're not on God's team.
Well, I'm going to tell you, like my dad said, and I said all the time, shout out to Marvin Cooper, Lieutenant Marvin Cooper. We're going to get that social security number first. So when we in that courting phase, I'm about to find out everything about you. This ain't that. You know what I'm saying? So when I figure out your birthday, your name, one of these locations you used to live at, I'm about to do a whole police report. Because here's the thing. You could tell me you're not married and still be married. So I'm just saying, there's a lot going on out there, but I'm with you. Yeah. If you're married, stay married with the person you married. And stop trying to holler at other folks.
Because I'm going
to get a divorce. Or get a divorce, please.
Right.
I ain't for a divorce, but if you don't want who you with, I don't know.
That's a whole nother topic. Listen, we got to get out of here. That's a whole nother topic. But listen, we appreciate y'all rocking with us, listening to us. The unsaid truth. We going to a break. We coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Get money. Get money, money, make money, money, money.
Get money.
Get money, money, make money, money, money.
Get money.
Get money, money, make money, money, money.
Get money.
Get money, money, make money.
Yo. Welcome to Legal Hustle, sponsored by the Equity Movement 247. My name is Julius Cartwright. Today we're going to talk about savings. How many of you are saving money out there? Well, here's a tip for you. You need to pay yourself first. Take 10% of what you make and pay you, and then pay your bills. Because if you're not saving any money, guess what? You hustling backwards. Because at the end of the day, whether you make $15,000, $75,000, $150,000, you should have 10% of your gross income in savings. You got to pay yourself first and operate and live off of 90%. Of what you earn or what you have in your hands. 10% you got to save, because that's the only way you'll build. And what you'll realize, if you can save for 30 days, eventually you'll be able to save for 90 days, 6 months, 1 year, and you'll realize that you won't want to break the glass to go buy those shoes or to go make a move, a small move. You will save that money for something like buying a house or something that's an appreciative asset. So it's important to save, because in America today, less than 4% of the people save money. And that's why in America today, we're stumbling financially, because we don't have savings. That's why they say most people live paycheck to paycheck, and most Americans are paycheck to paycheck and 6 months away from being broke. So save some money. Keep that in mind. I hope this information you found was valuable. And you can find more information. You can join us at all our social media outlets for the Equity Movement 247. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, as well as Equity Movement YouTube TV. And The Fix is in.